I'm not by nature an organized person, but I do my best to stay on top of it today. But back in the day, especially when I was in my deepest depths of despair, not so much. Today we're going to talk about something that is maybe a little different. We're going to talk about, as you see by the title, clutter, but how not only does clutter kind of lower your vibration, but it also is potentially a symptom of your toxic relationship.
So let's get started.
Question, are you living in clutter? If you are, you're going to want to stick around for the show today because one of the least discussed symptoms of PTSD, especially as a result of a toxic relationship, is the way you keep your space, your home, your office, all those things. So this can take one of two forms. On the best note, it will take a form of being obsessively clean and organized, of being overly concerned about it. The other form, of course, cluttered and disorganized. But in both of these cases, we can draw, you know, direct parallels to our past and to the relationships that we experienced. So today we're going to talk about that and also offer some tips on how to manage it if you are stuck in the clutter thing. Because here's the thing, when people see someone being obsessively clean and organized, most people, including the person who is obsessively clean and organized, won't see this as a big problem unless there's an OCD issue, which is another video altogether. But today we're going to discuss clutter and we're going to talk about how often clutter can be a symptom of PTSD or CPTSD as a result of a toxic relationship and why, and of course, solutions on how you can resolve this in your own life if you're dealing with it. The first thing we're going to talk about is very simple. What is problematic clutter? How do we know when we've kind of gone too far? How do we know if we're falling into that problem area? Do we just have a little pile here and there, or is it much more than that? The first symptom is that you feel uncomfortable in your home because of the clutter. So the clutter, it makes it hard for you to move around, or the clutter makes it in some way uncomfortable. Maybe just the energetic force field, so to speak, around the clutter, but you feel uncomfortable. Maybe you're told very often, or you say sometimes, you know, I just have too much stuff. Or somebody says, you have a lot of stuff. That could be a symptom. Or you feel embarrassed. This is a big one for me. If I don't feel like my house is in order, I don't want anyone to come into it. So if you feel like you're embarrassed about your house or something like that, you might be dealing with a clutter problem. If you feel like you're paralyzed and you can't clean or organize because of the amount of stuff in your house, you might have a clutter problem. If you have strong emotional attachments to some of that stuff, maybe certain items or certain collections, you might have a problem. If you waste time because of the clutter, if it takes you longer to get ready because you have to dig through piles of clothes, or if it takes you longer to cook because you have to clean off the stove every day or whatever, you might have clutter. Or maybe you waste money. You go out to eat all the time instead of cooking at home because you can't find the stove under the clutter. And that's a little excessive, I know. That's more of a hoarder thing, but clutter can lead to hoarding, as we all know. Maybe you have piles, or you have overstuffed drawers and shelves, or a room you don't let anyone into because it's full of your clutter. Or maybe you want to declutter, but you feel like you have trouble deciding where you can let go of, what you can let go of, stuff like that. Or maybe you keep getting more stuff, keep shopping, even though you know you have nowhere left to put anything. Could be a problem. Maybe you get so overwhelmed by your clutter that you actually rent a whole storage space to put some of it in. Or you box it all up and you stick it in your basement and you just never look at it again. Maybe you have problems at home or at work that are caused by the cluttering, maybe even in certain relationships that you have. Or you have areas in your home that you just can't use, like the room we talked about a minute ago, because of clutter. You will see people in situations like this where they'll have like, their whole house will look spotless, but there'll be one room or one part of the house that nobody goes in because it's full of junk. I can't tell you how many people I've met like that. Maybe you don't really have a place for everything, and so therefore you don't put everything in its place. As in, you just put it willy-nilly wherever you can. That can indicate a problem. And clutter doesn't necessarily mean dirty. Maybe you just have too many things in a small space or a big space. Maybe you fill the spaces with more stuff if you get a bigger space. Then there are those of us who have organized clutter where you have boxes and bins and all that stuff piled up. We'll get to that. A few years ago, many years ago, I saw this episode of Oprah when she was still on network television where she talked about how your home can be kind of an external representation of yourself, your body, your mind, your soul. For some reason, okay, I'll tell you why. It really struck home with me because it was soon after I had left my ex-husband. And while I didn't have as much stuff as some people, I was living in a cluttered mess. When I thought about it, I realized she was right because something inside of me felt broken and I was flailing in life in general. And I didn't know how to get out from under it. And so like every time I would walk into the area that was cluttered of my house, I would think, I'm gonna do this today. I'm cleaning this up. This is gonna be a thing. I couldn't do it. I would feel so overwhelmed by just the appearance of it that I would turn around and walk away. It was terrible. When we're in a toxic relationship, we are very often not controlling our own destiny. We allow this person, or we don't even maybe realize that we're allowing it, but this person, this toxic narcissist or whoever they are, they control us. They control our every move. They dictate our cleaning schedule like my mother did. She walked around with a white glove and checked behind the toilets and everything. She was obsessively clean. Maybe they make us feel out of control in other ways like my ex-husband did. Either way, we find ourselves feeling stuck, lethargic, or in many cases, just exhausted. Emotionally, physically, and otherwise, because of the things that we go through during those relationships. Maybe we're keeping stuff because it's sentimental to us. Like, you know, some people keep every paper their kid ever made in school, you know, every little piece of art and everything. Or maybe it's stuff from the toxic relationship and we're not ready to let go of it yet. Or maybe we keep things because we think we're going to use them someday. Or we keep all the old clothes that, you know, some relative that we love passed away, left all these clothes. We kept them because we love that person. Maybe we keep stuff because it helps us feel more secure somehow or in control in some way. A lot of times we think, but I might use that someday. And it becomes a problem. And like I said, some of us have the organized clutter where we have the boxes and bins all stacked perfectly and labeled perfectly. But it's full of stuff we'll never ever use or touch again. In any case, I think we can look at clutter sort of like extra weight in our lives. And I think even Oprah talked about this, and I'm not trying to talk about Oprah again, but I think she even talked about this in that episode that I was explaining to you. It does sort of manifest in other ways. And often that looks like body clutter to us. Just like extra weight, it feels overwhelming and impossible to drop it. It feels like we can't get rid of it. But with both clutter and extra weight, if we start to baby step our way toward our goal, it can be resolved. On a side note, often when we do get control of the clutter, we are also able to sort of get our hands around other issues, including sometimes our weight, depending on the situation, if that is a problem for us. Not everybody has that problem. But in any case, the solution doesn't happen overnight, and it isn't always as easy as we'd like it to be. But I do know this. I know that there are things we can do to change our ways that can improve our lives for the better. My daughter, her room, I went into it the other day and I was horrified at the mess. And despite my feeling of overwhelm, I literally, with her, went to work and cleaned it up and got her all clean and organized again. And in her situation, it wasn't so much trauma as it was a lack of direction because I was letting her do her thing. I wasn't constantly, you know, monitoring everything. She's 12 now, you know, and I realized, okay, she needs more supervision than this. But in any case, in my opinion, the clutter is a symptom. What I felt like when I went into my daughter's room is it was a crisis situation because I couldn't believe that she had such a mess. I'm not saying that everybody's in a crisis situation when they have clutter, but this was an issue. We dealt with it and she's feeling much better now. And now we're being a little more on top of making sure she's staying organized. Not everyone's naturally organized is what I'm saying. So there's also that factor. So we already know that clutter can make us feel stressed out. It can leave us less time to enjoy our lives. It can cost us money because we forget we have things and we buy them again. We know it can ruin our social lives. We know it can cause a lot of other issues. But did you know, and this is a really helpful thing, I think, did you know that just being simply mindful can really quickly allow you to cut through the clutter even more than cleaning can do that? It's true. A lot of people hold on to clutter, like I said, because they see it as some kind of emotional significance, you know, the stuff that they're holding on to, or the issue with thinking we're going to use that stuff again. Maybe, for example, we have a toy in the closet that we've been holding on to because it's the last thing, you know, grandma gave little Bobby before she passed away. So little Bobby thinks, I need to hold on to that toy because that reminds me of grandma. Even though little Bobby's 17 now, doesn't need the toy anymore. You know what I mean? Or whatever the case may be, similar issues for other things. You know, like I said, the clothing issue, where sometimes people hold on to an entire wardrobe full of things because somebody passed away. One example of a healthier situation that happened when my mother-in-law passed away, who was sort of like my mom. She became my mom anyway. She was amazing. When she passed away, my sister, technically sister-in-law, but I call her my sister, Piper, she's in the home where she was taking care of her mother and she kept the home afterward, which was totally cool. But instead of keeping the many clothes that our mother had collected over those 79 years, she went through them all and she chose a couple of things and she had someone make a bear for her out of one of the sweatshirts that mom wore all the time. And I thought that was so cool because it kind of still smelled like her. And she has this bear still today. And it's really cool because it's something that she wore, but it's not taking up her entire closet space. You know what I mean? So that was a positive thing she did. But anyway, I think one of the biggest reasons that we do struggle physically and emotionally with clutter is because the decluttering process can be incredibly painful when it is a symptom of what we've gone through. And that's especially when you see it as a big whole mess that you have to look at. It feels overwhelming to us. So if we use mindfulness to help us go through each thing, because it allows us to maintain our focus on just the one area, one issue at a time that needs to be dealt with. So we're not constantly standing there looking at a whole room full of mess. We could just stand there and look at one little table we can start with, for example. You're going to be able to simplify your life this way and keep what you need to be keeping and let go of the things that are just holding you down, the things that you really need to be free from. If we focus on what it is that actually matters to us, like for example, the little bear that Piper had, the sweatshirt she had turned into a little bear, that was a really nice way that she could hold on to something that would remind her of mom, but that she wouldn't have to keep the entire wardrobe in order to remember. Do you see what I'm saying? So a little tiny bear as opposed to a whole closet full of clothes. By using that sort of logic, it's going to make your life so much easier. By using mindfulness as you clear out the clutter, you're also going to let stress go in the process, which is a beautiful thing. If you are living in clutter right now, I want you to close your eyes and try to imagine what your space would look like without that clutter. You know, remember how it looked when maybe you first bought the place or moved into the place. It is worth doing. The things that we keep and the emotions we won't let go of can be reminders of what we used to have and what used to be part of our lives. And sometimes it feels more comfortable to us to hold on to those things. You might think if you don't address the mess or the clutter that you don't have to deal with those things. But you and I both know that's not how it works. If we hold it in for too long, it just comes seeping out, sometimes exploding out. Clutter hanging around, whether we're looking at it or not, we feel it. Right? If there's an energy to it, it's right there and it brings our vibration down. But when we use mindfulness and intentional vibration management and all of this to declutter, to let go of things that we don't need, we're going to be a lot better able to focus. I mean, in every area of our lives, not just in our homes, but at work and with our friends and in our relationships and in our recovery, we're going to feel healthier. We're going to feel better. It's going to help us evolve to the next level. Like I said, you're going to feel better emotionally when you let go of those things. On a more practical level, you'll be able to find the things you need instead of digging through stuff and getting stressed when you can't find something. And you won't spend as much money because you won't keep buying things you've already had. It gives you more space in your home. I mean, there are so many reasons, or your office. It allows you to let go of the mental and emotional clutter that gives you the clarity that you need to really move forward in your recovery. I mean, beyond recovery, to the point that you're evolving and you're becoming the best version of yourself. I really don't think that we can hit that level without dealing with this issue, because our space is reflective of who we are on so many levels. And if you think about that, it makes a big difference, right? It makes a big difference. So the best thing you can do then is to go through each area of your life one little bit at a time and start to clear out the clutter. This might be your home, your office, maybe your relationships even. Right? Maybe you have clutter in your relationships. And what I mean is, a lot of times when we figure out, okay, there's a toxic person I'm close to, then we start looking around our lives and we see other toxic people. We see other people that we really shouldn't have in our inner circle. This is a good time to sort of clear out the space there as well, energetically speaking, within reason. So here are a couple of practical solutions for getting your home clutter or your office clutter managed, right? Number one, get some help. If you can afford to, hire somebody. Pay them to come in and help you get things gone through and organized and put away or gotten rid of. Not all of us can afford that. So here are some other things you can do. You can recruit your children to help you, or you can offer to help a friend declutter their place, or maybe you are really good at doing taxes. Maybe you can do your friend's taxes and they will help you declutter. Whatever it is, think about that. Exchanging services. Maybe your friend has kids and really needs a night out. Maybe you keep the kids for, you know, one or two nights out and then they help you declutter as repayment. You know what I mean? Think outside the box. It is very overwhelming to do this sometimes. And so just having a second set of hands can make the work go so much faster. Okay, if that's of interest. But there's also another option, and that is to take little tiny baby steps toward it. Like, your home didn't get this way overnight. It's not necessarily going to be resolved overnight, but maybe you can resolve it in 30 days. So I have a free class over, it's a program on Life Makeover Academy. I don't have the link right now, but I'll put it in the description. Check it out, sign up. It costs you nothing. There's no upsell or anything. It's just 30 days. You know, you get an email every day, or you check into your class every day and see what the project for today is. You don't have to do it all in one day. It's free lifetime access. There's no strings attached, but it really helps. Originally, I went through and did each day, and I think there's even videos of the first several days of me doing it in my house. So it might be worth a look. But if you take the time to work through all these steps, by the end of the program, if you finish all 30 days, your house will be done. You'll feel better. You'll be able to breathe again, life will be easier, you know? And number three, if you've always found it too difficult because you think the task is too much, just take 15 minutes a day or 5 minutes a day, whatever, and focus on one thing in the clutter. So like I said, pick a table or a shelf, a single one, or a, you know, a 2 foot square space if you don't have tables and shelves in there in your clutter areas. You know what I mean? Take just tiny baby steps, just a few minutes a day. And if you think about this, if you spent 15 minutes a day for a week, almost 2 hours worth of time that you'll have completed. If you do that and you look around your house, you know, imagine what 2.5 hours or 1.5 hours or whatever, 1 hour and 3 quarters can do. You'll be shocked. Don't underestimate the power of baby steps. It's a huge thing and it really can help you a lot. And like I said, the projects that are in the 30-day thing, most of them won't take you more than 10 or 15 minutes. Some of them might take a few more minutes, but you know, you can also skip around and do the ones that you want to do. Like say that you don't like one or one seems like too big of a deal, so you skip that one and go on to the next day. That's okay with me. This is your thing. You don't have to do whatever I say, right? Question of the day is, if you have personally overcome a clutter habit, let us know right now in the comments, what are your best tips and tricks? How did you do it? What worked for you? What didn't? And if you're struggling with it, let me know that too, and let's talk about it.
Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comment section below, and let's talk about it. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm leaving for you here and here. And while you're here, hit that subscribe button so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.